Tune in as author and publisher Joshua Schmoody and renowned talk show host Susan Brinder interview authors, artists, business entrepreneurs, political activists, musicians, and academics to discuss what it means to live the high life. A life of total abundance, joy, passion, and fulfillment. A life where your dreams become realities through the empowering medium of knowledge. Learn something new from book publishing and product distribution, public relations, to politics, psychology, and philosophy. If real-world knowledge interests you, then tune in and start living your higher life today. Hi, I'm Joshua Schmoody. I'm here with my co-host, Susan Brinder, and we also have another co-host, Michael Solomon. And welcome to another episode of High Life, a show where you can start living your best life now through the empowering medium of knowledge. Today's guest is Mr. Andy Pollack. Andy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Andy.
Hello. Oh, okay, you got me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Andy, instead of us giving your bio, because I think that you know yourself better than anybody else, I'd like you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn. My grandparents came from Eastern Europe, and I was born in Brooklyn, and my parents moved out to Long Island, where I grew up, had a good life out in Oceanside. I lived there probably about 30 years in Oceanside, and then I moved to Long Beach, and I was an entrepreneur growing up. I had an interior demolition company, and then I built a scrap metal business out in Nassau County, where I ran that for 10 years and sold it. And I ended up moving down to Florida, Broward County, where my sister resided, and my brother moved down, and my parents. And I thought I was doing the right thing by moving to, a little bit of a suburb, that had good weather 12 months a year. I thought they had good schools. And that's why I picked to raise my family, was down in Florida, where I got into the real estate business, where I did real estate for the next 10 years.
Wow.
And you
are actually in charge of something called Americans for Children's Lives and School Safety. Now, why did you actually start that?
Well, I started that actually was to raise money to build a playground to honor my daughter, Meadow, who was murdered in the Parkland shooting. I did that to be able to raise money through a nonprofit. So we did that, and now I'm really just, I wrote the book, Why Meadow Died, to educate parents into the public school system and to advocate for school safety and what actually works, solutions that work in the country. Really to educate parents. My thing is parents right now should know better, and they are the ones responsible for their children, what schools they put them in. So it's really on the parents now. I'm done with dealing with the politics of school safety, and it's on parents. It's your child, where you place them, and it's on them. I've been pushing for.
Andy, Mike Solomon, you hit the nail right on the head, let me tell you. First of all, I got to confess, Andy, that I haven't read your book in its entirety, but I went through it briefly, and just from the introduction alone by Hunter, I know that if Meadow survived that horrific ordeal, we would be talking to her instead of you, because she would have become the crusader that you are. I know it for a fact. Just from reading some of the stuff he wrote about her diary, it's amazing. But I don't want you to take what I'm about to say the wrong way, but it wasn't the gun that took Meadow's life that day. It was the depraved indifference to human life. And some of that has to do with kids' upbringing and the parenting. And you're right. Correctness is destroying. Political correctness.
Policies in place.
Exactly. The policies in place. Everybody's got their head in the sand. That's the problem. And it's always, oh, I don't have to worry about it. It's always the other guy. Well, the other guy's saying the same thing. So you're the other guy to the other guy. It's frightening. And I tell people when they say, oh, I've got to, you got to, if you see something, say something. Well, I live by a different motto. I would rather say something and be wrong than say nothing and be wrong. I'd rather make a mistake.
What happened in Parkland was a lot of people saw something and said something.
And nobody paid attention.
The district did nothing. They didn't do nothing. The sheriff's department and the school district did nothing because of these leftist policies that are in place.
Andy, absolutely, absolutely right. Absolutely. Yeah.
The school to prison pipeline. And that's what ended up causing this kid to be able to go out and purchase the rifle because he was never arrested for all. You know, the sheriff's department went to this kid's house for him and his brother over 40 times.
Yeah, an arrest. I know that, but I'm the kind of guy that looks behind those things. 40 times that they went to the house, it was his mother or his. At the time, whoever was his guardian at the time, they were making the complaint. And to be honest with you, as a former police officer, they kept saying, well, you got to talk to him. You got to tell, we can't, police officers are not supposed to be boogeymen. We can't go out there and scare people.
Yep.
You know, if there's a crime involved, we make an arrest. I know.
Well, 40 calls to the house, there's an issue.
There's got to be an issue. Sure there is. But you know what the problem is? I agree.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
And, one of those calls was a threat that he was going to shoot the school up.
Unbelievable. Yeah. See, that I didn't know.
And they did nothing. Yeah. And after he made the threat to the school about shooting the school up, he actually trespassed at the school when he wasn't a student.
Should have been arrested for that alone.
Should have been arrested. Maybe he don't go back a second time.
I know. The problem is... Part of the problem is that as the politicians, and the press, all they're doing is putting their emphasis on the gun, and gun control and gun safety and everything else. They're not looking at the underlying problem. As I said before, it's a depraved indifference to human life. When you and I were growing up, you grew up in Long Island, I grew up in the city, I grew up in the Bronx, and then I moved up to Rockland County. When I was growing up, in my neighborhood, I was the only Jewish kid in an Italian neighborhood. If I wanted to be with my friends on Saturday afternoon, I had to go to church with them because they were all in confession. And I used to sit and wait, and the priest used to give them the same sermon that my rabbis were giving me. You know, be kind to your parents, be good in school, and be kind to your teachers and your friends, and help little old ladies walk across the street. You know, all the fun stuff, all the stuff we knew. We knew there was right and wrong. We knew there was a heaven and a hell, and hell's never where we wanted to be. So we had a semblance of right and wrong. Today, these kids are sitting around, they're playing video games, they're going to the movies and watching these horrible movies. I sit in the movies and I see some of the previews, and I look at my wife and I say, my God, who writes this crap? I mean, all it is blood and guts and gore.
And when you went to school, you wouldn't think of doing something wrong when you were in school.
You kidding me? The last thing I wanted was the way
you get suspended.
Absolutely. Yeah. Forget suspended.
Now, that's what's changed. They don't. These kids, that's the safe zone now. If they want to commit a crime, they do it at the school. Where when we went to school, if you had a fight, it was off campus. Anything was off campus. The school was off limits.
Well,
that's all changed now because of these policies. Kids are protected from police at the schools. They put these policies in place that don't hold them accountable for crimes when they commit them at the school.
And they pass off
and that's what's going on throughout the whole country with these policies.
And they're passing off the problems to everybody else. You know, when I was in school, I was hyperactive. Teachers used to say, go out and run around the playground. You know, get the energy out and come back to class. The best time of the day to teach a class back then was early in the morning, first period, before the sugar highs from the breakfast cereal kicked in, or after lunch when they ran around on the playgrounds. But they've closed the playground. They closed the playgrounds in Broward County because they're afraid of lawsuits. Some kid falling down and skinning his knees.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I was marched down the hall to the principal's office with my teacher holding on to my earlobe. That happens today to have the teacher arrested for assault.
Absolutely. Andy, I would like you to take our audience a little bit through the situation. You get a call. How did it all happen? Did you get a call from the school that something was going on? Take us through the whole thing. You get a call, and then what?
Well, I got a call, actually, not from the school, from my son, that something was wrong. And like any parent, every parent thinks it can't happen to them, including, just the parents that the kids were just killed in California. everyone thinks it can't happen to you. So I thought even that day, well, this can't be anything. You know, it's what happened. It was an accidental shooting, something. You know, no one thinks that someone's going to go in there and kill your kid and shoot up a school and kill 17 people. So that day, you know, I'll never forget it. It was Valentine's Day. I was on was with my wife on a picnic when the phone rang, and we were about an hour away, and we couldn't get near the school because there were so many cars and police around the school. So when we couldn't reach my daughter, we just started going to the hospitals and looking at the hospitals, hoping she was there at the hospital, but she wasn't there. And by 6 o'clock that day of not hearing from her, I knew that she was murdered at the school because every kid could get access to a phone. And, you know, it's just something that you never recover from being a parent. And it all could have been avoided. You know that at that school, what we found out in my investigation, that's why I wrote the book, Why Meadow Died. In my investigation, I found out that they had to frisk this kid, the murderer, every morning before school. That's how dangerous he was. They frisked him. They didn't let him in the school with a backpack because he was too dangerous, but they let him into the school with my daughter. And these policies, they're throughout the whole country. You know, this kid had to be walked around in middle school by security because they couldn't let him walk the halls. It was too dangerous. They had to tie his desk down. He was infatuated with blood, killing. They had him, one of the calls to the house was he was skinning chickens in the backyard, killing animals, you know. But they allowed him to go to the school because, you know, they just give these kids these special, he was labeled special needs, and they give them more rights than any other kid in the whole school. So this animal had more rights at the school than my daughter, who was just going there, who wanted to learn and be with her friends. And these policies that were pushed in Broward started with Obama and Arnie Duncan, who was the Secretary of Education, of not to arrest, you know, too many kids of color were getting arrested and suspended, at-risk youth. So let's just stop arresting. Let's stop suspending. Let's stop expelling children. All color, you know, no matter what color a child is, there needs to be a consequence in life to point them in the right direction. So these policies that were put in place that I uncovered in Broward are throughout the whole country, and it sets kids up for failure, whether they're white, yellow, or brown. If a kid doesn't have any consequences while going to school, or any, you know, if he's not reprimanded or taught a lesson in life, you set kids up for failure. And that's what these policies did in Broward, between their lax discipline policies and labeling mentally in public schools. Parents need to know when they hear the word special needs, most parents think it's a kid who has autism, dyslexia, cerebral palsy, just a learning disability who's not disruptive. Those kids are okay. But what they do is they take mentally, emotionally disturbed children who are psychopaths. They call them oppositional defiant disorder, and they'll label them special needs also. And then that makes them just about untouchable in your school. And that's why you read about these shootings, assaults on teachers. These kids are problem kids, and they should be put in different programs. And parents don't know about it. That's why it's important to use my book like a manual and learn what's going on in these public schools.
Yeah, you know, the biggest problem with that, too, also, and it's also why some of these kids are able to buy guns, is the HIPAA laws. You can't disclose anything about them. A guy can go purchase a gun today legally, 20 years old, 25 years old, it really doesn't matter. And he just spent the last 5 years in a mental institute as a schizophrenic, and he's released for one reason or another. And he goes in there, and they ask him right on the application, have you ever been in a mental hospital? And he says, no. You could put the kid's doctor down there. And the doctor would say, what, are you crazy? I can't tell you that. There's laws against it. I'll lose my license. I mean, that's the problem. We've got to change.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
That's a major part of the problem.
These kids that are mentally ill, it is a major problem.
They put a label on them, as you said, as special needs, but nobody knows what the need is. You know, the kid needed hospitalization.
Mentally ill.
Yeah.
Mentally ill. isn't special needs. That's what they need to separate.
Exactly.
It's a big difference. And in the public school system, mentally ill children that shouldn't be in these classrooms are being labeled special needs. And that really takes away from the kids that are special needs that we want to mainstream and help.
And, you know, absolutely. Guys, I want to interject here too. You know, in Houston, where I'm from, they had mental hospitals for people like this, where they could, you know, there was actually institutions, and they started closing a lot of them down. And so a lot of them are just homeless in these inner cities now. I mean, you can see them everywhere. It's all across the country. So I just wanted to kind of state that kind of ties into exactly what you guys are talking about. There is no place for them anymore.
There isn't, I know. You know, as an aside,
and if you don't put it on their background, they're able to go purchase, like, say someone's mentally ill and they don't go through the whole process when they get, like, put into, involuntarily committed.
If they don't go through the whole process,
it won't go on their background, which is an issue. You know what I mean? Because the laws are in place to protect us, but that needs to be put on their background. If they don't go through the whole process, it doesn't get put on it.
Oh, and it'll never show up.
It's unbelievable. And was he Baker acted at all?
He wasn't Baker acted. Right. They would have known it if they did the whole, like, if someone just goes in for 72 hours for an evaluation, it won't go on their background. They have to go to the full extent of the court and their psychiatrist, and then it would be put on their background. So most 90%, 99% of the time, that doesn't happen. And those laws are in place, and they're not using them. We don't need more laws. You know, mentally ill people that are dangerous, it should get put on their backgrounds so they aren't able to purchase a rifle.
That leads me to the question about the police that were on duty that day and what happened and why he ran away rather than take his gun and go into the school. I mean, what did he say? What was his reason for not taking action?
Well, I'll give you the Disney version of it, because it's hard for me to give you the Disney version. The guy was just a coward that day. He crapped in his pants when he got to 9 feet from the door when the murderer was on the first floor still. All right. He went 9 feet from it. He heard the shots and he retreated instead of going in. My daughter was on the third floor. So if he would have went in on the first floor, and most of these, they're cowards, these mass shooters, most of the time they kill themselves or they get
work by intimidation.
So he chose. You yell at him, you scream, you shoot a round off. He didn't go in, and he let, you know, I think seven more people, including my daughter, get murdered. He retreated back to a wall where he stayed there for 43 minutes. Okay. But not only did he retreat, there was another two other monitors, they call them. One monitor at the front gate watched him, the murderer, walk in and doesn't call a code red with a rifle bag from an Uber. Uber dropped him off, if anyone's listening didn't know. The killer called Uber with a rifle bag. Uber dropped him off in front of the school. The monitor watched him go in.
How about the Uber driver calling?
Yeah, no, they didn't call the. Yeah. So that's one.
Guys, this is
then
insane.
You got the monitor at the front gate, doesn't call a code red. Then, if you could believe it, so then another monitor, people don't know, his name's David Taylor. He's 50 years old. He sees the shooter on the first floor, the murderer, but he didn't even take the gun is still in the bag when he sees him, David Taylor. Instead of going towards him with training, like, the gun wasn't out. All he had to do was say, what are you doing in the school? And he knew he didn't belong there. He goes back and heads up to the second floor, this guy Taylor. And then when he got to the second floor, he heard the shots going off. He hides in a closet, this guy, 50-year-old man. And when he's in the closet, he has his radio and his phone. And he hears over the loudspeaker, because now, you know, the office is in another building. The fire alarm's going off from the smoke from the gun. He hears the office telling the kids to evacuate the building because there's a fire. And this guy in the closet knew it was gunshots. He doesn't go on the radio and say, no, put the kids back into the classroom. He lets my daughter go out into the hallway and get murdered while he hid and saved himself in a closet, a piece of garbage. And that's only another guy. Then you got about another four or five deputies pull up from Broward County. that take a perimeter around the building while kids inside are getting murdered. You got about four deputies or five that hid behind their cars or they're putting their vests on while the shots were ringing off. And that's when Coral Springs Police Department, the neighboring town, show up with the right training. They run past the sheriff's department and they go into the building, but it was already too late. So there was multitudes of failure. That's why that the governor of Florida removed that Sheriff Israel from office, because he had about 10 people that failed that day. That could have been a big difference. The school district, they failed miserably. The mental health people failed miserably. And, you know, it's all in the book, and it's all going to come out in my civil case, how many people failed. But, you know, I owe it to my daughter to hold these people accountable. And that's what I've been doing with the book and going on shows like Definitely. You and telling you what failures. And you guys would never know. Can you imagine a grown man? I'm in a deposition in my civil suit, and he's telling me he hid in the closet, and he heard over the radio that the office is sending the kids out into the hallway, and he doesn't get on his radio and warn the kids not to go out into the hallway. He didn't want to talk loud because he thought the shooter would hear him in the closet while he was hiding. And he didn't warn the kids. He let them go out and get murdered, seven more kids.
That's involuntary manslaughter. I mean, he needs to be charged for that. Straight up.
Yeah, I wish he could be. Him and the other deputies, that, you know, there's so many. But no, if I don't do my civil case, no one even knows this. Yep, that guy, the guy at the front, watch him walk in out of the Uber with a rifle bag and doesn't call a code red. You know, so it's just things I live with, and I got to expose them.
One thing I've noticed in my 33 years on this earth is they are so wrapped up in locking up nonviolent crack smokers that have hurt no one. But when you have real crimes like this, real crimes, people dying, real stuff happening, nobody gets, you know, when it's them involved, when it is the police involved, nobody's held accountable. You know what I'm saying? You kill somebody who's unarmed. Hey, man, your buddies stick up for you. You're fine. You're a cop. You can do whatever the hell you want. But when a school of kids get shot up and you do nothing, I mean, that's outrageous, guys. I'm sorry. That's outrageous.
Well, let me just bring you up, because, you know, there is a couple of things that happened. So the deputy that didn't go in, the one that was at the school, Peterson, is brought up on felony charges in the last, like, eight. Yeah, he was brought up on felony charges. He's facing felony charges. I got him in my wrongful death case. Four of the other deputies lost their jobs, were fired in the process, but not charged. And the sheriff, who ran the whole department, was removed from office.
Yeah, he's fighting to get back in.
You can believe it. He's running again in 2020, this piece of garbage. And in Broward, such a cesspool of Democrats that live there, you know, they might reelect this guy again. And if they do, let him have at it. This guy's a total failure. His whole department failed. Two shootings, the major shootings. The one was at the airport where they failed, and then he failed his whole department. 10 deputies, and, you know, including a lieutenant, a captain, you know, a sergeant, all failed. So, you know, when you have multiple failures like that, it goes up the chain, you know. And this guy wants to run again in Broward, and we'll see in 2020.
You know, it's amazing. You know, they talk about is gun control, gun control, gun control. You know, as I said before, they don't care about anything else.
No solution. Look at California, the strictest gun laws in the country.
How about Chicago? Look at Chicago.
They're not talking about, you know,
75 to 100 people every weekend they shot, and 20% die
from the left, right? Why doesn't Pelosi go do a march in Chicago to help the people in Chicago?
Why bother? All they keep talking about, I hate to say this and bring up statistics, but all they keep talking about is the AR-15. The AR-15 was never an assault rifle. And as a matter of fact, in all the school shootings in the last 24, since 2017, there were 24 school shootings in America, and only one school shooting with the AR-15 was involved in. And unfortunately, it was Stoneman Douglas. But all the other shootings were with handguns and rifles.
What was his name? Who was the guy running in from Texas? What was his name? Who just pulled Beto O'Rourke, right?
Right. Yeah.
He's gonna do a buyback. He's gonna take all the weapons.
But right. Yeah. Who's gonna have the guns?
State, in San Santa Fe, Texas, there was a school shooting May of that year, May 18th. There was a shooting where 10 people were killed at the school, and they used a shotgun and a pistol. And Beto doesn't even acknowledge that shooting in his own state, but he's coming after semi-automatic rifles. So they don't even look for solutions. You know, all they do is spew agendas. Where in Florida, actually, underneath Governor, at the time it was Governor Rick Scott he put together a bill that made every kid safer in the state. He put together a commission, Rick Scott, to look into all the failures. Okay, and it's getting done. Kids are a lot safer in Florida because of these because of Governor Scott, and now Governor DeSantis came in. He removed the sheriff. He ran on accountability.
He did that on the second day he was sworn in.
Yep, I was there with him. And then he did what's important for me too, Ron DeSantis. He put a grand jury investigation. They're investigating the school board now. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on that mean a lot to me with accountability. And the president also, you may not know this, he put together a federal school safety commission.
I remember that.
Where he, what important for me, he rescinded those Obama-era leniency policies that were mandated on a lot of these schools throughout the country. He rescinded it. So he did a lot, but politicians can't help you at a local level. The president, you know, everyone, I get hate mail, and he gets hate mail. Oh, what are you doing for the school shootings? Well, your district, they control everything, okay? The president can't help you at a local level, or the governor, anyone. The school district's school board controls everything when it comes to the budget.
I have a question for you.
That's
Andy.
Why I advocate for it. Sure.
Yes. The question that I have is that there are so many people that I meet. They're on the left side, no question about it. They question over and over the whole notion of gun control. I hear them say to me, well, I was a teacher and I don't think I could have, you know, shot anybody. I don't think that I would be able to hold the gun. Well, I hear that all the time. And yet you say, and I know I heard you say this, that at some point before of the shooting in Parkland, you questioned gun control too. But now you understand the reality. And the reality for you is that we have to have guns to protect ourselves. Am I correct?
Yeah, mostly correct. But I never questioned gun control ever. I've been in the scrap business in New York, so I always had had a gun on me. You know, but it's a society issue. But you're correct. Like, what bothers me is when I got into the advocacy and to looking into what goes on with these school shootings. And I wanted to make all the kids safer, teachers safer, and put a big dent in it. If I didn't mention gun control, I was conservative, Republican, NRA shill, if I don't mention gun control. But when I look, I'm telling you right now, the honest truth, if I did my investigation and found out that it was the gun's fault, I'd be talking to you about it. But I did an investigation over a year's worth of research, and it's the policies in place that enable these kids to be able to purchase. Why not? Listen, if someone's mentally ill, put it on their background. If someone threatens someone's life or to shoot up a school, arrest them. You know, look at the Dayton shooter. It was the same as my daughter's murderer. He threatened to shoot the school up. He had a rape list, never arrested. My daughter's kid threatened to shoot the school up, never arrested. Trespass at the school, never arrested. So Democrats, I say to them, all the people that are listening, all they do is you hear the word background check 100 times a day from these people. If they don't arrest these people, they don't have backgrounds. Okay, it wouldn't have made a difference. Chuck Schumer's talking about background checks after the shooting in California. Like, it would have made a difference. The kid was 15 and took, I think he took his mother's pistol.
His mother's gun, yeah.
Yeah, so the mother should be charged with a felony if she didn't have it locked up. Okay, and a background check wouldn't have made a difference. You know, so Schumer, what does the president call him? Crying Chuck?
Yeah.
Something like that. Crying Chucky, but where is your solution? Okay, the solution is you got to have programs for these kids at early ages and put them in the right and hold kids accountable, regardless of color. So I looked into it. This, if parents want their kids safe, these are the things. If they want to listen to me, fine. If not, send your kid, you know, send your kid to a school where all, that's what the CNN told me. What should parents do, Mr. Pollack, if they're against arming teachers or having armed guards at the school?
Well,
it's a free country. You send your kid to the gun-free zone with all the doors open, okay? That's what I tell you. I want to send my kid to a school where they lock the doors, they have armed security, and if teachers want to volunteer, this is the thing that the left doesn't get. The programs that we put in place in Florida are voluntary. So you want the teacher that wants to volunteer that could go through this program that's 150 hours of intense training. Okay, I witnessed it. 50% fail. That's how hard the training is. Why wouldn't you want your kid to go to a school where that person's trained like that in that intense training? I want it because you could tell anyone says, okay, you don't want armed guards at the school. You don't want metal detectors. You don't want the teachers to protect your kids. Then I don't get it. You know, I want it, you know, and I seen it because the killer at my daughter's school reloaded 5 times while he was in the school. He could have had an axe and killed 17 people. No one went into the school to help him. But if the teachers were trained, two of the coaches that went in were like, one had military background. He went in, he got murdered, Coach Hickson. And then another coach who we named this program after, his name was Aaron Feist. He was a coach. He ran into the building unarmed and he was murdered. So it's a society problem. We can't fix society, but you want your kids in a safe place, and arming personnel that volunteer to do it, I don't see a problem with it. But, you know, the Democrats, they're going to have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I want my kids safe. Yeah, they want to ban guns, which there's with no solutions.
Not only that, they're more interested in protecting everybody's rights, especially the criminals and anybody else. I mean, it's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
And you're going to
see it, you know. So one other thing I want parents to hear, though, it's not only going on in Broward with these policies of not holding kids accountable and special needs kids that are mentally disturbed. California, I warned California, every parent, I told them, could you believe it's against the law to suspend disruptive kids in California? They passed a law a couple of months ago. Gavin Newsom signed it into law. A kid could tell the teacher to go F themselves, start a fist fight, throw a chair at the teacher, and not get suspended or expelled. Okay? Mm-hmm. And this is what's going on at the public schools in California. So my message to parents is, listen, every parent, I have the right to say I didn't know what was going on in the schools, but every parent now in the country, from listening to this podcast, every other radio show, every TV show I went on, you don't have that right anymore to say, I can't believe what's going on in the schools. Parents need you got to know better now. And if I would have read my book 2 years ago, my daughter would be alive, because I wouldn't have had her in a public school that participated in these policies. I'd put her in private school, charter school, homeschool, or you move, because that's what's going on in the country with the public schools. And it's actually, if you look on Joe Biden's website or Elizabeth Warren, they want to bring back the policies that the president rescinded. They'll force it on these public schools to have to participate in these policies of not holding kids accountable and creating a chaos within the school districts.
Well, I think it's a time that we have to end the show, but I want you to tell people more about your book and where to get it and how they reach you
sure.
if they want to talk Thank about you. The issues, if
yep.
you don't mind.
Sure. You know, I call it a manual for parents, so they don't have to go through how I live my life and put my daughter in that school. So it's the name of the book is Why Meadow Died. It's at Amazon. It's on BarnesandNoble.com. Some Barnes & Noble stores have it throughout the country. But it's very important to read it, and I ask parents to read it and then pass it on to their child's school teacher when they're done with it. And really, you have options, and don't just send your kid to a public school and think they're safe.
Our guest today has been really fascinating, giving us the kind of education and information that we need on the whole notion of gun control. And of course, buying his book would really enlighten everybody. So I really suggest that if you're interested in learning a little bit more, the person who you want to talk to is right here. And I just want to say to Josh, close out the show, if you will.
Thank you so much for coming on, Andy. I really appreciate it. And remember, guys, knowledge is power. Take care.
The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represent the subject before acting on any information or advice. The High Life Show and media by which it is distributed hold no responsibility for the validity or accuracy of information on this site or podcast. Listeners and viewers are advised to seek the input of a professional whom represents the subject before acting on any information or advice. Thank you.